This is Byron Merritt. If the Tubbs Could Talk by Pat Hansen is the fourth story aired in the Monterey Short Series, a collection of 10 short stories by fiction writers of the Monterey Peninsula, adapted for radio by their authors. For all the writers who dared to dream and continue to dream, let the dream spill onto the page. Lead the way. And now enjoy If the Tubbs Could Talk by Pat Hansen.
Did I tell you that a favorite pastime of mine on long road trips is to find off-road pit stops? Squatting in a gully next to a cornfield, or an almond orchard, or an artichoke field, or even rows of desert palm is much better than inhaling the reeking odors of a dank cement room behind a gas station. Today I'm on one of my favorite off-road treats, turning off Highway 101, glad at last to lighten my foot on the pedal and leave cars moving at warp speed behind. The view of the fertile valley expands in the rearview mirror as I climb from the exit toward my secret retreat. I involuntarily slow my pace as vineyards, rows marked by rose bushes, give way to a grove of looming cypress pines. Weaving through columns of blooming cactus off to the right, I find the perfect dirt road to pee in today. What a calendar I could make of California pit stops I have known. I smile, looking up from my teetering crouch, and say thank you, wishing as I let go that I could as easily relieve myself of things I no longer need to make me feel worthwhile. Somebody else's project to report eloquently on. Another client's program to evaluate. Whether my business account will have enough in it to pay my quarterly taxes next month. If only stress could be eliminated as easily as pee. I wobble, and I hear my knees pop as I pull my panties up, my skirt down, glad the wind didn't wet my sandals. A flash of, what if my mother saw me hits? Taking 3 hours on a weekday between business meetings for yourself? Not her generation. But then there's something to that work ethic I've inherited. I'm grateful for the salary, but I probably need a 12-step program for work addiction. Let me recover from keeping busy with someone else's details to escape the void I'd feel if I slowed down. Busyness is an anchor. It holds down my creativity. It doesn't get me anywhere. It's an illusion. It doesn't protect me from anything. Depressed, lethargic, and bored are states I've managed to avoid quite well over the years. Thank you very much. Give me manic any time. Still? Me? Well, I'm getting better and better at it the older I get. Each trip I make to this hot springs helps. Cypress Hot Springs is one of Central Coast's best-kept secrets. 24 oak hot tubs with names like Serenity and Tranquility, each totally private and protected by its own redwood fence, nestled in folds of California gold hills dotted with scrub oak, sycamore, and grapevines. At the desk, a 20-something college student in khakis and Cypress-branded polo t-shirt smiles and takes my $12. The springs, open 22 hours a day, offer soothing mineral waters for respite from whatever one wishes to escape, just as they have for thousands of years. Would you like an upper tub or a lower one? Oh, upper, I say, relishing a climb. Is Rendezvous or Lookout available? You're in luck, Lookout is, but Rendezvous's been reserved. Great, I say, as I select lavender-scented bubbles for another dollar and choose a bottle of Sobe Serenity Elixir, which the clerk pours in a non-breakable container. You know the drill, then. Up the second flight of stairs and turn right at twilight. Lookout is just past Deja Vu. A 40s college professor type is just ahead of me as I slowly ascend the three-story staircase entwined in flowering jasmine and ivy. I can't see his face, but imagine rows of worshipful students looking up at his penetrating blue eyes, deeply tanned skin, closely trimmed beard, as he lectures. I focus on how the muscles in his lightly hairy calves twitch with each step as I chat with him about the wonders of this place, so close to home. Go figure. Best kept secret. Don't tell too many people, he mutters between conscious breaths, as I turn right for Lookout and he goes left to Rendezvous. I lift the steaming cover from my tub, turn on the jets, and pour in the lavender bubbles to soften the bitter sulfur smell. I go outside Lookout's gate to turn the red valve that sends more hot water up. Careful to avoid the poison oak, I reach under the deck and retrieve a few crinkling condiment candy wrappers that have slipped through the slats from God knows when. A shuffling makes me look up toward Rendezvous. My professorial staircase mate is standing naked, pacing at the doorway to his deck. Nice legs, I think. Remembering that I might have called across to him in my single days a few decades ago. A light pounding on the steps interrupts further fantasy. A lithe, blonde 20-something, backpack over a bright pink tank top, strides the steps two at a time and turns into his tub. For a second, I'm blinded by a beam of reflected sunlight from the silver ring at her navel. I smile, shrug, and return to my own steaming waters. I remember to pull off my own ring as I undress, wondering what minerals Mother Earth releases from her womb for our pleasure that can also turn silver black, and if the blonde's ring was as easily removed. I sink ever so slowly into the 106-degree water and stifle a cry of shock from the heat. I push aside thoughts of the workshop I'll lead tomorrow, the impending deadline for the report that remains precariously perched on my desk at home. Arms above my head almost in prayer formation, I slip in. I shudder. I close my eyes. Remind myself to let go. Another thought of the professor and his blonde of the semester floats up and I wish it away. I sink into the oak tub womb, floating in fetal position, my muscles Spanish moss melting from my bones. As I notice the tingly bubbles gently massaging every pore of my body, I find myself wondering what these tubs would say if they could talk. My, what they must have witnessed over these years. These waters have cradled literally thousands of bodies in their depths. I can't get the words of the Eric Burden song out of my head. Tall ones, skinny ones, fat ones, short ones. Playmate material at 18. Everyday American spread circa 40. Sagging breasts and siliconed. Hairy chests and shaved ones. Muscles and flab. Hearts and bones. Marital assignations, first dates, relationships straining from parenting young ones renewed by leaving a babysitter at home, closeted gays meeting in private, single businessmen strategizing after a golf game, college students rewarding themselves for finishing exams, smells of sensimia mixing with the sulfur, wine in paper cups lubricating conversation and God knows what else, bones formerly broken, now arthritic, backs twisted from years of improper posture, days of driving, their tension melted and massaged by the spa's muffled jets, or lone travelers like myself just taking an hour to let go, to listen to the silence. As I soak, I wonder if during the middle of the night, Tubby might ring up Hideaway and compare notes, or would all the tubs have a conference call and put in their 2 cents? Okay, Nirvana would gurgle. What was your most special treat today? Well, I had that television newscaster and her cameraman again, Tubby would babble. The energy those two have. Get this. I caught each of them looking at their watches while they were making love so they'd get back to the studio by 5. That's responsibility, huh? So what? Good for them, Shangri-La would spout up. At least they do it. I haven't felt anybody make love in weeks. Maybe my thermostat is too hot. Water ain't the best lubricant, you know. My favorite today was Grandma and Pop's, Twilight might bubble. Didn't you think it was cute how they were kissing and holding hands? Round is the only word to describe those two. 70-odd years of meat and potatoes wrapped around their middles, their pale skins mottled. They even gave each other a massage. He didn't even flinch when she touched his scar from gallbladder surgery, and I loved it when Pop suckled the dark nipples of her one full breast, then actually kissed her chest where the missing one should have been. I could tell that mastectomy had to have been at least 20 years ago. No silicone replacement therapy for them. If their grandchildren only knew how touching and totally accepting of each other they are, who says there ain't life after 60? Ah, how sweet, Hideaway would slosh. Quite a contrast to what I saw today. Two dark, unshaven men took me from 11 o'clock till 3 in the morning. It wasn't the gang numbers on the back of that one's neck or the talons and the dragon tattooed around the other guy's shoulder that got me. Nope, not even the lines of coke they snorted or even the shots of Jack Daniels they drank. It was the guns. They were so angry, so tweaked. I was afraid one of them would shoot a squirrel he got pissed at for dropping acorns on the deck. It took everything I had to soothe a savage inside those two. They just didn't belong here. But then they turned on the jets full force for a few minutes, and I helped them forget what it was that they were running from. We sense something dangerous going on, Harmony would pipe in. Do you think they were drug dealers? enchantment would splash. Darkness rarely shows its face here, but we all knew you'd be all right. Gemini changed their flow with, "Well, did any of you catch Mrs. Whitney and Mrs. Rockford today? They treated themselves to lunch after tennis this week and had a whole bottle of wine. They almost tripped coming up the stairs. They were giggling so much. Eleanor actually convinced Esther to forego bathing suits. They took a tub naked. 30 years of keeping their boring husbands happy, their only solace, their weekly tennis game and soak. But listen to this. After a while, Esther held Eleanor's hands as she wept about her daughter's divorce. And do you know what? For a brief second, I thought they wanted to kiss." "Nah, you're kidding," Lookout would answer. "Nope," Gemini replied. "If I'm not mistaken, I felt the vibration from a lust that dare not speak its name." "Speaking of lust," Rendezvous would burble in, "did you see Professor Clapham and his latest young thing this time? I wanted to spew over the side of my tub. If I hear about the validity of subjective measures of competency-based education one more time, I'm going to boil over. I wonder if she realizes that he dyes not only that reddish quasi-crew cut of his, but his chest hair, too." "Ah, come on. Doesn't he get that we all age?" "Exactly. What do you think the 19-year-olds are about for him? But this one really spars with him. He's actually beginning to be smitten by her. She'll go places with that thesis of hers. That is, if she lets go of the fantasy that he'd leave his wife and settle down with someone 19. Is she dreaming?" "Shh. Come on now," Lookout would foam. "We're all absorbing a bit too many human traits here. We're about healing, not judgment. Remember? I had that writer again today. She always picks Rendezvous or me because she can see more through the trees at this height. She's taken another contract with the county, important work, good money. But I had to remind her that's not what she's really supposed to be doing, what she's here for. As I surrounded her, my minerals whispered not to be afraid of her own creativity, to let that voice be heard. I actually sensed a shift in her. Very little, but some movement in the direction of quiet, calm." "Wow, quiet," Atlantic would continue. "Wish I'd had some peace today. All my customers were gabby. Sometimes I want to put a gag in their mouths. My minerals are still being replenished from 4 o'clock's insomnia, 5 o'clock's marital troubles, and 7 o'clock's arthritis. Now, you know how long it takes sometime," Erwan bubbled. "Cut your writer a little slack, Lookout. At least your customers do something meaningful. I got mostly high school girls in bathing suits worried they don't look more like someone named Britney Spears, all trying to attract the same guy who wouldn't know what to do with one of them if he caught her. And yikes, the language these young girls use these days. When did the F word become something young ladies let slip from their mouths?" "I totally agree," Shangri-La might burst up to Starlight. "And when did this body-piercing thing start? That guy I had at 9 o'clock had enough jewelry on to short-circuit a computer. Must have been his first time because he forgot to take it off. I was worried I'd turn into a battery from the chemical reaction." "It's different now than it used to be," Tranquility slurped. "Most of them move so fast. We're here to slow everything down. Remind them that time is precious. Help them remember what it was like when the Native Americans first discovered us. Can still smell the sage. Hear the chanting. I miss the ceremonies they used us for." "Holy water," Paradise complained. "I'm just about steamed out. Just look at what we've absorbed. No wonder they drain us every morning between 5 and 7 o'clock. Look, Anthony's on the first level releasing the valves right now. I'm ready to be sucked dry and remineralized for 2 hours. We'll all be one again soon. Let's chant before our stress-filled waters go back down into Mother Earth. Om. Om." The chime outside the gate to my deck rings. Stunned, I open my eyes. 50 of my 60 minutes are already up. My arms feel heavy, my head light, as I sit on my towel and rub cream slowly into my calloused heels, between my toes, up my legs. I realize these conversations weren't imaginary. They are the voices in my own head, and yes, they do stop when I turn the jets off, when I lie back and float, resting enough so that all I can hear is my own breathing, the beat of my own heart. I feel ever so grateful so blessed for having taken one more step, to learn to be still like the eagle song. I slip back into reality and pull on my clothes, foregoing the bra, too constricting. No, I thought, if the tubs could talk, they wouldn't. As I slip back to reality and dress, I get that these tubs wouldn't gossip. They wouldn't care. They wouldn't be concerned with conditions, judgment, evaluation. If they could talk, it's not secrets these tubs would tell. They wouldn't care if you were alone or wonder why you weren't a couple, even whether you loved the one you were with. They'd just tell you to slip in, slide under, float, just be. Look up through the trees, they'd beckon. Notice nature. Let the squirrels and the birds sing you to sleep. Serenity wouldn't whisper of jealousies, or tranquility spurt inconsequential comparisons between body parts. Erewhon would never ripple in judgment, victimizing someone for causing the disease that brought them here seeking relief. Infidelities wouldn't interest harmony, nor would nirvana brag about the orgasms enjoyed in its embrace. Starlight certainly wouldn't care about someone's weight or how much water they displaced. I finally get it. These waters are about acceptance. Their supply from geothermal depths is endless, infinite. If the tubs could talk, really talk, they would wonder what the hurry is all about. They'd ask people where they have been to so tightly knot their muscles. What forces wind them up so much inside that it twists humans' God-given architecture? Waters which spring up from the center of the planet and rise from molten rock to fill man-made chalices in which we play or pray would only ask us to hope. They'd wish to leave us renewed, reminded, remembering our source. Cypress springs only envelop. If they did speak, it would be in a whisper. Surrender. Float. Forget. Fly. Wrap yourself in love. Be with me now. I descend the staircase one step at a time. Notice that the professor has left before me, and hear his student arranging with the timekeeper to stay another hour, alone. I smile and head out to the parking lot. I put my gym bag and wet towel smelling of sulfur in the trunk. I gasp when I look at my watch, which I'd left in the car on purpose. I have a meeting at 6 o'clock in Salinas and less than an hour to make it. I quickly set the CD player to the Rolling Stones, roll the windows down, and head for the freeway. On 101, my foot firmly on the pedal, I scan for police cars as I zip into the left lane and then pull back over as a dark maroon SUV in the rearview mirror tailgates and dwarfs my Honda Civic. I am doing 77 as he passes me. Not 3 minutes later, I see the SUV stopped by a cop. I wipe my brow, relieved it's not me, and smell a hint of sulfur on my skin from the tubs. I ease over into the right lane, switch the CD to Enya, and remind myself, there's always enough time. Cypress Hot Springs is a fictional representation of two very real hot springs on California's central coast, Sycamore Mineral Springs on Avila Beach in San Luis Obispo, and Monterey County's Paraiso Hot Springs in Soledad, California.
This was a special KAZU radio production of If the Tubs Could Talk by Pat Hansen, read by Pat Hansen, and produced by Brita Heisman. I invite you to join Monterey Shorts next week for another great story. You can pick up a copy of the book Monterey Shorts in area bookstores or on the web at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. The radio adaptions of Monterey Shorts continues on Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. on KAZU 90.3 FM.
quatro tá de qual caminha bem a quatro tal na quatro anda que tinte qual canto de queen. Água do tal,